Ignorance is bliss, or maybe not. I'm Joseph. This is Input English. Today I have a story. This, like all the stories on this channel, are for the purpose of comprehensible input. This term of art, comprehensible input, identifies a learning method that is a very natural way to acquire a language. Arguably, comprehensible input is the best way to acquire the English language. One of the nice things about comprehensible input is that you can use it no matter what your level. You can be an absolute beginner from zero, or you could be an intermediate learner who already speaks English but would like to improve listening comprehension and pronunciation. This channel is about learning skills using a modern technique which has mostly replaced the old-fashioned drills of grammar and vocabulary that have caused so much failure in language learning over the decades. Our brain is designed to acquire languages. We just have to provide the resources, and our natural ability will take over. The other day, I made an episode that told you about chestnuts. In that story, I told how I had learned about chestnuts while living in Austria. Putting that video together caused me to remember a lot of interesting and fun things about my time living in Austria. The other connection that I have mentally with my time living in Austria is the fact that I am now getting 2 hours of German comprehensible input every day. To make a long story short, I remembered another aspect of my time in Austria that could be quite interesting to you, the viewer. As I have explained in the past, I lived in Austria for a little over 3 months as a part of an international scholarship, an international exchange. I had applied for a scholarship and had been awarded that scholarship, so I was off to Austria. I was studying in the university, and the department was very used to having international visitors. During much of the year, it was more often than not that they would have a visitor from overseas. When I arrived in the department, there was already another international scholar in the department. He was from South Africa and had been there for about 2 months. This fellow spoke Afrikaans. He also spoke very good English. What I observed is that his German was good and his native language, Afrikaans, allowed him to understand German perhaps even better. He told me that. He found that he could listen to the German and figure out what they were talking about. After about a month, he split. He went back to South Africa. It was only a week or two later that two more fellows showed up. These two fellows were from Egypt. One was a little older than the other one. They were both very smart and very well educated. Of course, they were fluent in Arabic, and they spoke some English. The younger fellow spoke English better than the older one, or at least so it appeared. The one thing that these two Egyptian scholars could not do was speak German. Their plan, as stated to me, was to come to Austria and use English as a lingua franca. They figured that their skills in English would be sufficient, knowing that people in the university would often understand or speak English. Their plan worked well, but it didn't work perfectly. The problem with their plan was not their intellect or their education. These were two brilliant fellows, and they were exquisitely well educated. The problem was pronunciation. After they had been there perhaps a week or so, one of them asked me how come they would say something in English to one of the other people in the department, and they would not understand. However, I would say the same thing to the same person immediately afterward, and they would understand me. My Egyptian friend couldn't understand how come I had superpowers to be understood by these Austrian people in the department, and why he could not do the same. After all, we were both speaking English. The difference was pronunciation. Both of my friends from Egypt had relatively thick accents. Looking back, I conclude that native speakers in all languages have some superpowers to figure out what someone is saying to them, even if there is a thick accent, even if the pronunciations are not very good. Native speakers can usually piece it together and figure out what is being said. However, someone who is using English as a second or third language, for instance, will have trouble understanding another person with a different accent trying to communicate to them in English. The other difficulty these two friends of mine had was that many people in town with whom they dealt didn't speak any English at all. For instance, in the stores. My Egyptian friends were very concerned about one very specific detail about their visit that they had not anticipated. This was all explained to me because we talked a lot in English. What they told me is that they were very concerned about pork on the menu in the restaurants. They took some of their meals at restaurants, but they were frightened that they might inadvertently order and eat pork. These two friends of mine observed Islam. They were relatively religious, and their beliefs were strong. They did not want to eat pork because that was forbidden. They asked me for advice on how they might avoid accidentally ordering pork. Well, this was a very realistic concern because pork is the number one meat dish served in Austria, followed by beef and chicken. But if one was not paying attention, it would be possible to order a pork dish. I taught them a short phrase, which they memorized and repeated until they could say it in a clear, understandable way. I taught them to say, "Bitte, kein Schweinefleisch." No pork, please. This was their secret weapon to go into a restaurant and order from the menu and have assurance that they wouldn't accidentally order and eat pork. I am a big fan of international scholarly exchange. That was a very rich opportunity for me to learn about other cultures, not only Austrian culture, but I also learned some things about South Africa and about Egypt. My Egyptian friends had me over to their apartment for dinner one evening. They had purchased the ingredients, and we sat at the table for this dinner. This was a great learning experience for me because of the big difference between cultures. The food was served to the table. The table was bare. There was no tablecloth. They had cleaned it, and they had washed their hands. They put out the serving dishes. And they may have had more than I'm going to list, but the ones I remember include bread, sardines, pickles, and boiled eggs, hard-boiled eggs. We sat at the table, and I followed the lead of my hosts. A piece of bread was broken, and then some of this food from the other dishes was applied to the bread. In other words, the bread was used not only as food, but also as an eating utensil. We did not have plates, and we did not have silverware. They had simply washed their hands thoroughly, and then we were going to eat with our hands using bread. They explained that this was normal practice. I found this dinner very interesting and fun. I enjoyed eating that way. It was very new to me, and I really enjoyed that experience. One of the fun surprises during the dinner was how they managed the hard-boiled eggs. The egg shell was broken, as we would do here in the West, and was peeled off of the boiled egg. The shell was deposited on the table and then was pushed aside out of the way, but not off the table, just pushed aside. And then the egg was broken, applied to a piece of bread, and eaten. After we had completed the dinner, the serving dishes were removed to the kitchen, and the table was wiped down with a clean dishcloth. At that point, each of us went to the sink and washed our hands. They explained that the habit, the custom, was to wash your hands before a meal and after a meal. They had taught me that it was their custom to only eat with the right hands and to avoid touching one's mouth with the fingers. They taught me a few words in Arabic, but I must admit they didn't register well enough that I retain them to this day. I heard them, I memorized them by rote, I learned how to pronounce them, and then I completely forgot them. They were not taught by comprehensible input. They were taught by rote. And it's not surprising to me that I don't remember those words. At the beginning of this video, I started with the statement, ignorance is bliss. That's a very old phrase. It's an old saying. It's still commonly used, but it dates back to 1742. Thomas Gray wrote a poem entitled Ode on a Distant Prospect of Eton College. And in that poem, it says, where ignorance is bliss. The poem also goes on to say, to be wise is folly. With that follow-on phrase, you can detect the ironic nature of that poem and that saying. Later in the United States, Thomas Jefferson wrote, if ignorance is bliss, why aren't more people happy? His question addresses that ironic aspect of the old saying, ignorance is bliss. In the case of my Egyptian friends in Austria, the statement, ignorance is bliss, did not apply because they knew of their ignorance. They knew that they had a challenge, and they were actually frightened that their ignorance of the German language and their inability to communicate would cause them harm. It would cause them to accidentally eat pork, and they did not want to do that based on religious beliefs. I think we can conclude that sometimes being unaware of something can have a benefit of allowing us to not worry about it. However, taking the statement, ignorance is bliss, literally would be a big mistake. What I learned that I think is the most important lesson in all of this story I've related to you is the importance of pronunciation. The Egyptian scholars in our department had studied English by traditional methods, and they had gotten very little input. they had not heard a lot of spoken English. Their pronunciations were very flawed, and this caused them a lot of trouble being understood by other people using English as the lingua franca. I put a lot of emphasis on correct pronunciation. I'm not worried about speaking accent. We all speak with an accent, some sort of accent. I have not set the goal that I learn languages to a level that my accent is a native accent. I think that's unrealistic and would be very time consuming. However, I think it is important to be able to pronounce words so clearly that people have no trouble understanding you, even if their skills in English are not strong. This is very important if you're going to use English for international travel. If one is going to use English as a lingua franca, there are two necessary ingredients. Very good listening skills, so that your listening comprehension is very good, and also good pronunciation, so that when you speak, the other person understands what you're saying. The fun thing about this topic is both of those needs, good listening skills and good pronunciation, are solved by the same process. You can drown those two challenges with lots of input. If you flood yourself with input, if you get huge amounts of input, it is foreseeable that your listening comprehension will improve and your pronunciation will improve. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have not yet subscribed to the channel, please hit that free subscribe button. It really helps. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.